Welcome to another episode of the Bias Football Takes podcast. I'm your resident Arsenal fan, Obinna. What episode number is this, Yemo?
This should be episode 25 of second season.
Wow. We've gone that far.
Yeah, we've gone really far.
Yeah, no, shout out to you. Shout out to our listeners. Thank you very much for listening, you guys. Before we jump in, Shion, what's new with you? What's happening?
Hello, everyone. My name is Oluwaseun Wesala. At least, let me greet everybody first before you jump into things that you want to talk about. I am your great uncle of the great club, the greatest football club in the world. Manchester United.
That's funny.
I'm happy to be back.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, what do you want to ask me?
No. First of all, I'd just like to correct something. You said the greatest football club in the world. We all know that's fact. That's not correct. We all know that, first of all, historically, you are not even the greatest club in Manchester. Oh, at least over the past 5 years, you're not the greatest club in Manchester.
So Manchester City is greater than everyone, right?
No. Well, than Manchester United, yes.
On what parameter metrics?
Like I said, why did I ever say 5 years? Past 10 years, okay. Trophies won.
No problem. At least, at some point, they called us greatest, right? Right.
I don't know who did.
In Manchester, greatest in the Northern Hemisphere of England, greatest in England, you know, one of the greatest clubs in the world, at least, right? So HR added greatest at some point.
Tell me, at least in some quarters,
tell me if your club has been attributed to greatness before. At any point in their setup. Tell me when.
That's the greatest club in London, which is the most important city in England.
Chelsea is greater than your club.
No.
They have more Champions League than you do.
It's Champions League. I mean, Nottingham Forest has Champions League, so...
And it shows that they're greater than you.
That's a funny one. Anyway...
They're picking up greatness.
Let's jump right into the show. So this week we will, you know, go over the review of the games from the past weekend. And then news coming out of Germany is that Xavi Alonso, who is on course to lead Bayer Leverkusen to the Bundesliga, will not be joining Bayern Munich. And in fact, will be staying at Leverkusen for at least one more season. And then we'll talk about another coach who is, making a name for himself and is being linked to other teams. And I'm speaking of no other person but Roberto De Zerbi. And then we will do a deep dive into City versus Arsenal. And for me, it was a defensive masterclass by Arsenal, but obviously... Because it's Arsenal, so many people have things, negative things to say about. So we'll talk about that game and then any other topics that you know, we just want to bring up on the fly.
Then we'll talk about the Manchester United-Chelsea game that's going to happen as we're about to record.
Yes. So from this weekend, we had Newcastle-West Ham. What an exciting game that was.
Yeah.
Newcastle ended up winning 4-3. And I guess we'll dive into that game more in depth. Yes. Bournemouth beat Everton 2-1. Chelsea Burnley 2-2. Chelsea can't seem to just
catch a break.
Yeah. Hopefully they do today, though. But Nottingham Forest Palace 1-1. Sheffield Fulham 3-3. Spurs Luton 2-1. Villa Wolves 2-0. Brentford United 1-1. And then on Sunday, Liverpool beat Brighton 2-1 with the, you know, great comeback. And then Man City Arsenal 0-0. So which games
And there were also some games midweek. Don't forget those games.
Oh, that's right. Well, okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it's a lot of football.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah, I guess it's the end of the season and everyone has to play all the games. So, yes, on Tuesday, Newcastle Everton 1-1. Forest beat Fulham 3-1. Bournemouth beat Palace 1-0. Burnley Wolves 1-1. West Ham Spurs 1-1. Then Wednesday, Arsenal, of course, beat Luton 2-0. City beat Villa 4-1. And then on Thursday, Liverpool...
No, Brighton.
Oh, yes.
Brighton, yeah.
0-0, yes. And then Sheffield, Liverpool, Sheffield, and then Chelsea United are being played on Thursday. So,
overall, that's my recording.
Yeah, what caught your attention?
I think before about the big game of the weekend, Arsenal or City Arsenal. I watched Newcastle West Ham, and that game was just ridiculous. Because it started from so West Ham were really playing where they had a game, they had Newcastle at the place where they want them to be, but something just changed with that nonsense call for penalty. That penalty was ridiculous. Because
look,
I don't know
if
how.
You remember, if you because you know it was 1-0 to Newcastle. Then
yes,
West Ham came and then they were 3-1 up.
3-1 up. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, so that second penalty was ridiculous. Like, I don't understand where that came from. Because, and this is one of the things I've said since last season to this season. Like, this officiating is just horrible. Because why would somebody facing outside wants to clear the ball and somebody just jumps into the ball? And obviously, he's already in the motion. He cannot just stop his leg because he's not even seeing him coming on his blind side and call the penalty. Like, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous, but this is what it is. But I knew at that point that the game was going to change because it's going to affect. There's no way it's going to affect you, and it just happened that you know West Ham just lost their head. I would say they lost their head. Newcastle just you know switched back on and that kind of thing. Football is very emotional and very I won't say spiritual, but you just have to you need to feel it. As a player, you can feel it that, okay, these people are like in a very, like, they're shaky. Because after the penalty, Newcastle couldn't come out of their box.
West Ham.
Couldn't come out. Sorry, West Ham couldn't come out of their box. And I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Even though West Ham had like one or two chances through Suchek, I don't know what they were trying to do. At the very end. You wanted to chase the ball. Like, oh, guy, use your head. You are known for using your head.
No, so that was a very interesting game because, you know, I think it all started with Calvin Phillips. The guy just has really bad luck. Obviously, West Ham, they're a very, very good counter-attacking team. You know, they sit, they soak up pressure. And then they have very good technical players, you know, Ward-Prowse, Paqueta, and then Antonio.
Kudus.
Bowen. So, you know, Kudus is just, he's phenomenal now and the good thing about him is that he can run and he can also carry the ball. So, like, you can go long with him and he can, you know, out-muscle defenders. Same thing with Antonio. Well, Kudus can, you know, dribble through the midfield, like, dribble past opponents and you know, drive directly to the defending team's goal. So, they were playing very well. And then, also, St. James Park is a very tough place to go to when the fans are feeling it. Like, they are very, very, they can be very, very noisy. And that can destabilize whatever game plan you have. It's kind of like Anfield when, like, I don't know if you heard that thing when Gary Neville was there. I think it was Gary Neville that, like, sometimes you just see, it's just red. No, it was Arteta, sorry. Like, you just see red. Like, you can't process what's going on there because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, I think St. James Park is like that. Because I remember when Arsenal went to Newcastle, like, it was such a, not this season, last season. It was such a difficult, like, game because the fans were up for it. And it was like, they literally had the 12th man on the pitch with them.
Yeah.
So that was a good game. And there were some really good goals in that match too.
Very good goals.
Yeah. What's his name? Harvey Barnes scored some, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
So that was a good match. And then Which other game caught my eyes from this weekend?
Chelsea Burnley.
Chelsea, they just can't seem to,
because
like,
it's ridiculous. They were coasting.
Yeah.
They were coasting. Like, the penalty came, you know, that was good. And they were coasting. They were playing really well. And the goal just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The first one, okay, no problem. You have second half. You have, like, time to, like, you know, they scored first, 2-1. Okay, finish the game.
Yeah.
Like, man, it just doesn't
good. But then watch them beat United. But anyway, that's fine. Then Spurs looting. Again, I keep saying this about Tottenham. I keep saying this about Tottenham. They know how to stay in games. I said this at the beginning of the season that there has to be something with the way Postecoglou conditions these players to where, excuse me, they seem to come alive in the second half. They seem to have more energy. They attack more in the second half. And by then, it seems like other teams have just lost their legs and can't withstand the pressure. Because Tottenham, they score a lot of late goals and they come back from, you know, and win the game, you know, late into the match. So, well done, Postecoglou.
Hold on. Release his private parts. Just release his private parts. I don't understand. Did you watch his game against West Ham?
No. Wait. I'm just telling you.
Your principle is not, it doesn't even make any sense. You know why?
Yes,
because wait. Against West Ham, they were ridiculous. West Ham should have beaten them. That's how bad they were.
No. Actually, it was a very that was an open game.
West Ham.
It was end to because Spurs had a lot of chances now. It was end to end. But no. It was end to end, but
just release his private parts. Allow his do his work. He leaves up for his wife.
Come on, man.
Hold on, see.
You should practice your jokes after we know what happened. After this jail. Come on, man.
The thing is, I get what you are saying, but that is not the hallmarks of a great club. A club that wants to win championship.
But they're not going to win it this season. No. But
regardless.
No, I
get what, wait now. I
appreciate
get what
good coaches. That's what I'm saying. That's why you
that's
guys.
Not, that's not good coaching. That's not good coaching because why can't you start from the first whistle, blow of the whistle, and play consistently throughout? Because it is very possible if you meet a team that is like they have your time, they score like 7 goals in the first half. You're saying to come back in the second half. Like the thing is, stay in the game, but you cannot do that every time. Like once in a while it happens, but when that's the way you play from the beginning to the end for like 10 games, come on now. So you look, let me ask a question. Just be sincere, don't lie. We've just finished Lent. I mean, and Jesus Christ died for us on Friday and rose on Monday. Don't lie. Do not lie. You as a fan, right? Will you want your team playing that way?
I'm not a Tottenham. That's why I'm not a Tottenham fan.
No, I'm just asking.
No, of course not. But at the same time, we all know that Tottenham is not going to, they're not competing for the league at least this season.
Okay.
Right?
You just like the manager. That's why you're saying things like this.
No. Whether you like it or not, he's a good coach. He has won in other leagues. And he's fighting for the top four. Any coach that can make their team fight for the top four in the Premier League, that's a good coach in my book, man.
Okay.
I'm just telling. Okay.
I know your standard is low, but I understand. It's fine. That's why you're an Arsenal fan. But let's move on, Sha. Let's move on. So, Tottenham, those ones, I didn't have anything to say. I've said anything about them. So, I don't mean because Luton Town, how's Luton Town carrying you like that? How are they carrying you to places that you don't want to be as a big club? That's ridiculous. Honestly, that's ridiculous. And they were at home, right?
Spurs was at home, yes.
Imagine your own house. Luton Town, I understand it's very difficult to play when they are at home. But you're in your house, your own backyard, and you're praising them for that.
You know, how many games was United won at home?
This is my problem with discussing football with some of you people. No. Like, we are talking about one team, we are bringing another team.
Yeah, no, because you are saying that it's ridiculous in their own home. So, charity begins at home.
How many
Your team.
How many Champions League Arsenal won?
No.
Since we are bringing information that is not needed.
No, it is needed.
Not needed
it
in
is
conversation.
Needed. No, Arsenal's won none, but that we were robbed in 06. But that's fine.
Okay, you were robbed in 06.
Yes.
Okay, no problem. The next one that caught my eye, I think, Aston Villa Wolves. I don't think anything happened in that game. Just regular. Oh, Sheffield United Fulham. That was a crazy game.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a very crazy game. I don't know what's wrong with Fulham. Well, I guess it's because it's the end of the season. A lot of these teams are like because they're in a very good position.
They know
like,
they,
you know,
yeah,
what?
They know where they'll end up. Like
they're not really putting efforts into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have 39. Fulham has 39 points. So they need just one more point to
be safe.
To quote unquote, yeah, be in safety. So I guess they're not like just in the draw. Okay, that makes sense. Well, Brentford United. I don't think there's anything new that needs to be said, because I remember telling in the last episode where United played Liverpool, I told the person I came, Chike, that game, it was more of a spirited performance. It wasn't anything about tactics. It was more of like, let's throw the kitchen, you know, let's throw everything that we have in the kitchen into it and see, let's see if something will stick. And that's what was made us beat Liverpool. And I guess because they beat us 7-0, we didn't want that to repeat itself. So we needed that kind of performance, quote unquote. And of course, we went back to our regular programming of struggling against all types of teams, be it relegation, be it
Brentford is a tough
League
team.
One.
Brentford is a tough team.
I know it's a tough team, but there's no reason why after scoring that goal, that's going. Although Brentford played,
you guys. What are you talking about?
So we the first like 15 minutes we kind of played. We played our football. Okay, play paper. I was like, okay, I'm enjoying it. All of a sudden, game changed, and we just lost.
Guys,
handle of the game.
They pressed you guys. Yo, I think they hit the post like 3 times, right?
Yeah. Like, so they outplayed us in that game, and I feel like. Would have been unfair, which I mean, I don't care as a United fan, I don't care. Win, still the win. But if we had won, would have been unfair to Brentford because they outplayed us. They really, really played us. We couldn't play anything. We couldn't play anything. But that goal that is scored, there's no, a top club shouldn't be considering that kind of.
Yeah, goal. After going ahead in the way you guys went ahead. Leaving somebody at the edge of the box like that at that time in the match, that's a shame, actually.
You know what's funny about that goal?
What?
So before the goal came, the defense were the ones holding the team now.
Yeah.
Like the defense really, really defended well. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the instruction was. Everybody was on a straight line for that goal. So when the guy got the ball and he dragged all of them inwards.
Ivan Toney.
Yes, when you drag everybody inwards, all of them went inwards, all of them. Like, I don't know what kind of defending is that. After doing really well throughout like, the game,
they
all of
had
them went
tactics
inwards. And of course, when everybody goes inward, the most sensible thing to do is pass the ball out. Because, of course, there'll be like 3 people that will be free. The ball's going to get one of them. And of course, when you have that kind of opportunity, you have to bury it. But kudos to Brentford. United are still in the same quagmire. United was given a little lifeline by Tottenham drawing in the last game. They played. Who did Tottenham play again? They played
West Ham.
Yeah, they drew West Ham. So, which Tottenham should have lost that game. They should, but I don't know what's wrong with Tottenham. I don't know what's wrong with West Ham. They should because they don't play anything after their first goal. They did not play anything at all. It was all West Ham. It was all West Ham. But they gave United a lifeline. And also, Aston Villa gave them a lifeline again by losing ridiculously to City, which it was coming because City beat them the first leg, so they needed something to
no,
get
no,
back.
No, Villa beat them first half.
Yeah, I'm saying, sorry, Aston Villa beat City first leg 1-0, so they needed something. They needed the, you know, reply, which was a good game for City, for the end three goals. I saw most of the game, but it was good.
So,
Really quickly, there's something funny about that Aston Villa game.
Which one? I guess City.
Yeah, but we can talk about it later on when we talk about when I bring up the Arsenal City game. But actually, I'll just make the point that maybe I can elaborate more. It's funny how we see everyone was criticizing Arsenal for playing such defensive haram football, and then Villa went and they tried to play expansive, you know, attacking type football, and they collected 4-1, right? So like, at the end of the day, you know, you have to do what is best for your team and what will secure you the most points. And
do you want to reply for that?
Well done to Arteta for
Oh, okay, so United fans, I would say half of United fans, not all of them, because half of them are like, you know, I don't know what they talk about.
Yeah.
Half of United fans have been saying this since 2009. Actually, not 2009, but that's too far. After 2012, 2013, 14, we've seen this since that we are meeting a team in the caliber of City, Barcelona, Arsenal. Madrid, Arsenal, please. Barcelona. This is where you have to play. We'll be saying these things. But you know what? You know why that statement, what you just said, is very, very, I would say, hypocritical. Arsenal fans will be the one to come out and say, oh, you have to play in the kind of football you play, you know? I can be a big team and be defending against City. You have to come out.
That's not true. Do you want to know why?
Wait.
Okay.
And I don't know why, if something happened in the past and the fans have come out and tell you guys that this is what is happening, no, you guys will not accept it until you guys face it, and you're not start crying that, oh, you know, we don't have enough to play this team. We're not this is the same statement you guys made about City. That's the same thing, you know, about City having better score than you guys. And a lot of Liverpool have said it, United has said it, but you would not accept. But because you are facing it now, all of you are crying all over the internet. When United played Liverpool at Anfield, I remember vividly, we won 1-0 under Mourinho. The whole of footballing world said, that's not how you play football. That is anti-football. You know, you cannot be defending. You have to come out if you're a top club. Against Liverpool in Anfield, the team that came out against Liverpool Anfield conceded 7 goals last season. So you have to understand the complexion of the game. You have to feel the game. You have to understand
actually, we agree on this. I'm not disagreeing with you. I hope you
Yes, but my point is, when Arsenal faces something that a team in the past has faced and has spoken about, you guys always dismiss it. But when it's not your turn, you now start crying. That's my problem.
That
100%. Hold on. 100%. I support how Arsenal played against City the last time you guys met. It was as the only way. Because in the past 9 meetings, you guys have not won any game. You only scored 2 goals to down, maybe like 22 goals.
No,
we
beat them. Hold on.
No. In their house, not in no competition. In their house, in EPL. So there's no way you now see that record and say, oh, I want to throw everything out. I want to play expansive football. I want to play progressive football. No, there is always history. There's maybe once in a while you might have like one off, but there's always history. So Arsenal has only scored 2 goals to their 20 something goals. And you guys have not won any game there. So what magic do you want to not perform to say you want to go and beat them in their house?
We'll talk about the game later, more about the game later on. All right, Deserbi, really quickly. So Xabi Alonso.
Alonso, yeah.
Bayer Leverkusen is now 13 points clear of Bayern Munich. So from all indications, the league is going to be theirs.
By any miracles,
right? By any, just no. In fact, you have to be very successful, and they're also unbeaten this season.
Yes,
in the league. So he's doing a fantastic job. Now, obviously, as is the case with many other top managers, once you do well with the team and you upset one of the big boys to win the league, they start to come, you know, other teams start to come for you quickly. And, you know, with Klopp leaving Liverpool and Alonso having been a former Liverpool player, he was heavily linked to Liverpool. He was also heavily linked to Bayern Munich,
which obviously takes everything big in Germany, whether player or manager. And also, so he was linked with Bayern Munich because he also played there. So there are multiple ties, or he has ties to them as well. And then he was also linked to Real Madrid because he also played there, had a successful career there. And in fact, he's also Spanish. So, with all these big teams circling around, it was a shock to pretty much everyone when he said...
Not to me.
Which is why I said pretty much everyone, because I know you're an anomaly.
Continue. I'll tell you why I said not me.
No. Of course, it makes sense for him to stay one more season to build himself. But to most pundits, how about that? They felt that, he should have, made the move. So what are your thoughts on it? What are your thoughts on Xabi Alonso?
I mean, first of all,
what are your thoughts on his performance this season and then him announcing that he'll still stay at Leverkusen?
He's doing extremely well. He's probably even overachieving at this point. And it's a testament to sometimes you have to start very, very low and work your way up to the top. And it's an example of believing in yourself, believing in your tactics, believing in your players, believing in your squad, and also the hierarchy, believing and keying into what you want to do. Because last season, they were good, but they were not this good. And I guess
they finished fourth last season. When he joined them, they were at the bottom.
They were at the bottom, yes. So it took his time to bring them up, and they were good, but they were not this good. So now that they're very good, I know I'll be saying it. I said in the past that if I'm Xabi Alonso, I would not leave yet. I would do at least one more season after winning the league. So the job starts. Like, it's so easy to aspire to get to the top because there's motivation. If you have not been on the top before, you're motivated to experience, go into new territories, new experiences, and that adrenaline, that drive will be the one to propel you forward. Now, the work now starts from winning. After you finish winning, the next morning is where the real job starts. That's where the real pressure starts. Now everybody knows that it's good. So next season will be when, if he draws a game, it'll be like, oh, what's going on? If he loses a game, it'll be like, oh, he's not even that good that we think he is. So there's like a wiggle room for him because he's at Bayer Leverkusen. They'll be like, okay, Bayer Leverkusen, they're not historically a big team or a team that wins titles, right? So there's a room for him to, get acclimatized to losing after winning, learning his trade with that kind of experience and finding his way out with little or no pressure. I mean, there'll be pressure now because all eyes will be on him. But it will be a different type of pressure if you are going to a place like Madrid or Liverpool. So I feel like it's a very, very good decision. I applaud him for taking that step. Stay one more season. Learn your trade. Learn how to lose. Learn how to lose and learn how to come out of your losing streak. Because I give an example. Ole. When Ole took over at United, at the beginning he was winning. Yeah, like I think I had like 12 games that he didn't lose. Then he started losing. He couldn't stop the loss. So that's one thing that you need to learn as a manager. Stopping that rot, stopping that downward spiral, because you need to know how to motivate your players back up. Yes. So I 100% applaud him. And I said it that he should not leave yet. One more season, then you can go.
I agree with you. It's great that he's staying, to one, improve himself, challenge himself some more.
Yes.
And then also, give teams that if he's going to go to a team, can now start to have more leverage and say, okay, these are the type of players that I want. This is the pedigree of what that, and you can see that it's a winning strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, clubs will now, so he'll go, whichever team he ends up going to, he'll go there with the upper hand, and can make, you know, big decisive decisions on the type of players to bring, recruitment, team structure, all the way from, you know, academy to senior level, those kinds of things. So I think it's a very good move on his path. But really quickly, where do you think he'll end up going to of these three teams, or possibly more if you think that he might end up somewhere else?
I honestly, me personally, I wish he goes to Madrid, because if you look at the philosophy of all the teams that are interested in him, Madrid is the closest to what he plays right now. If he goes to Liverpool, the way those players play are like different from the way he plays. I mean, it's kind of similar because everybody presses, quote unquote, but the positioning, like he plays like three at the back, then he switches over to like five moving forward. The full backs are the ones doing the job, which is similar to Liverpool, but the way they do the ass is very, very different, because those full backs are even scoring too. They're not just creating. They score a lot of goals. So, and it's a little bit chaotic sometimes, but it works out for them, because if you see in their past, I think three games, they've come from behind, and it's true chaos.
They've been coming from behind, even they've been coming from behind, man, and it's crazy, because sometimes, if somebody who listens to this show, sometimes he'll text me and say, okay, it's today that Leverkusen will lose, and then all of a sudden,
you just see them
come back. End of the match, 2-1,
3-2. So, I feel it's, Madrid will be a good fit. But in the end, like, if you're a good coach, if they take you to Saudi Arabian League, you show your worth. But then, Madrid should be a good place for him. But I feel like he's a Spaniard, so most likely Madrid will be on top of his list. But after Madrid, I don't think he won't Bayern.
The thing is, one thing I appreciate and really like about his coaching, his career and also his pedigree, is that he was coached by pretty much the best coach
you could find.
And the position he was playing, he was not one of those players who would run around a lot, you know. So he was more of a cerebral player where, like, he was dictating the pace of the game from midfield, you understand? So
yeah.
I think those types of players, they have more insights, or they can provide more insight into the game, because playing from the middle, you get to see both the defensive side and the attacking side. You can structure the team, organize the team. So that's why I think he, players like him, Pirlo, his coaching results haven't been that impressive for me. His coaching results haven't been impressive for me. But I think generally midfielders are positioned to be great coaches because of the way they play the game, as opposed to, say, a goalkeeper or a left wing. Look at Gary Neville now. But anyway, I just have to do that. Sorry.
But you know why that's, I mean, ordinarily, yes, as a midfielder, you should have a better understanding of the game, because you can see everything. But I think it's more also of personality.
Of course.
Personality. And, you know, even in class, the child teacher was the same thing. One person will know more than everybody else. So if you like be a midfielder, be the best midfielder in the world, if you're not a good manager, not a good manager, because there are a lot of factors that goes into that. You understanding of the game, the tactics you want to use, the formation, then being lucky to be able to have that, I would say, talent to spotting talent, because that's really, really important too. Because sometimes some of the managers, they don't know how to spot, they don't know how to buy players. They just buy players and they just buy rubbish. So, but that's good though. Alonso is one of those players that I wish played for United when he was at Liverpool, Madrid, Bayern, because
Did you wish did you wish that Fabregas played for United?
Yes.
Okay.
Fabregas, Alonso, those are players that I wanted. I didn't want Lampard. I don't understand what the cry about Lampard was for. I don't want it. But maybe because he scored goals. Because goals wins you games, but
yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about Zebi now.
Yeah. So
I guess a joker.
Why did you say that?
Because his team is struggling right now, and he's crying. And the reason why he's crying is more because he knows that there are a lot of openings coming up next season. So it feels like if he cries now, They'll be like, oh, he's not happy at Brighton. They maybe come and pick him up. So he's sending out smoke signals, SOS. Come and save me. Crazy guy.
No,
and it's funny because if he goes to a big club, that guy's gonna flop. He's gonna flop.
You think so?
Yeah, because the way he's playing right now, it's very difficult to have top players play that way consistently or together that way. So except maybe he wants to mix top players with average players, then yes. But you cannot be that expansive. You cannot be so open at the back because you want to pass around. They're very good at that. They're very good at passing the ball. They're press resistant, all those kind of talk. But in the end, you need your players to put the ball in the back of the net. You need them to defend properly. So, I mean, maybe I might be wrong. You know, he might be successful somewhere else, but I just doubt it. But it's fine. Like, let him go. Everybody likes good team now. He has spent how many seasons at Brighton? One season, right?
Season and a half.
Let him go and chop money. Go to a big club and chop money. Because when I saw that interview, I was like, this guy, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the way he coaches. I like the way he sets his team up. They've had a lot of injuries this season. So, you know, again, I still feel like, you know, the players available to a coach affects deeply how, you know, his ideas and tactics are implemented. So, but I mean, we'll see. I don't know that he's a great coach yet, but I think he has the potential to be.
All of them are disappointments. All of them, all these new generation managers, like, it's crazy. It's the same old guys that are still winning. Do you know how crazy that is? There's nobody from that generation that is like that has tried to win.
Ateta,
that's a disappointment. Ateta has won what? What has Ateta won?
FA Cup.
Please stop calling FA Cup. I talk about leagues. I talk about Champions Leagues.
He's going to win this year now.
It's the same Ancelotti, it's the same Pep, the same old people.
Wait,
Mourinho is still there. Mourinho is still having mouth. Like, do you know how crazy that is? Mourinho started coaching way, way before Twitter, and he's still there. Ancelotti is still there. Ancelotti has been there since way back. Like, come on now, come on.
Anyway, that's fine. That's fine.
It's crazy. I'm pissed because. Let's have something like all this. They came and say, oh, there's a new style of playing football, progressive, expansive, yada, yada, yada. Okay, show working. All you can show me is your possession, your passing accuracy. That's what you can show me. What are you doing?
you sound pissed. All right, really quickly, your thoughts on the Arsenal City Arsenal game? Let me start off.
Okay.
So in 2015, I think 2014, 2015 season, right? This was the season before Leicester. That there by then, City were already like, you know, they already had a lot of money. They had all these big players, and they used to beat Arsenal then. And I remember we were going to
everybody beats Arsenal now. Everybody beats Arsenal.
Oh so. My god!
Just to come and say, just to come and say they do stuff.
Etihad, we're going
even
to
United club, Liverpool will come.
Oh, we're going to Etihad then, and then Wenger, who never used to play defensive, you know, silver counter, we played that at Etihad and we beat City 2-0. And I remember thinking to myself, like, why wasn't this the strategy when we would play all these other big teams? Like, why would we go and see we'll match them to you know, to punch for punch? And then they end up beating us. And then they end up beating us. So I'm glad Arteta had the foresight and the, you know, the bravery, courage to. It's courage because it's courage to do something that, first of all, you're not used to doing.
Good.
And goes against what I won't say what you stand for, but because I mean, if there's one coach that does not play, or based on the way his team has been playing, number of goals scored, yada yada yada, is Arteta on this current Arsenal team. We don't play park the bus, everybody behind the ball type tactics all the time. But I'm glad that he has shown that if we need to, we can put in such a performance and get a very, very good result. I think it's necessary for big games like this in the league as well as Champions League. And I think, given what I've seen, I can 99% say we're going to beat Bayern Munich and qualify from Champions League. Thank you very much.
I love that. Anyways, I don't talk about Champions League today, but that game against City, as I said earlier, I didn't like what I saw. I respect the decision to do that. I get that it was a buff fest. That's one of the things as a football club, at some point you don't care about entertainment. You have to at least not lose to your greatest opponent to the title. So if you can take off, it's more like taking off 2 points off City than losing 2 points, in my opinion. So I would say I respect that and I understand that plea. I get that 100%. And you guys did what you needed to do, which I don't understand why Arsenal fans think everybody's asking them questions. It's because of what you guys have said in the past. As I come to want to talk about you. If you were like in Newcastle now, or let me say Liverpool, yes. Nobody would have said, oh, you guys packed the bus, yeah, yeah, yeah. But because Arsenal fans have always, you know, gone on that trade of, oh, you have to come out, you're a big club. I mean, it's one of those things. I appreciate it. I get it. It's just ridiculous that in 9 games, you guys have not beaten them at home. You scored only 2 goals and they scored like almost 100 goals against you guys. Ridiculous. I had Olu was trying to have a little cop out, like, oh, I need to look at what he said word for word. It was like, oh, Arsenal is the first team to stop City from scoring this season. I'm like,
not this season, show in 57 games at the Etihad.
That sounds ridiculous. Like, who cares about that? You're talking about yourself. Like, yes, granted, if you look at it in that line, makes sense. But there's a particular history that is supposed to be guided. There's a context. Because if you guys are beating them, maybe 5 out of 10 games, or maybe 5 out of 15 games, right? This will make sense that, oh, we are the first team to stop them from scoring. But you guys have not beaten them in 9 games, and you scored only 2 goals against them. They scored almost 100 against you. But because you guys stopped them from scoring in 56 games, you want to now use that as a cop out.
But that's what United fans did when we went 47 unbeaten, and I was 49 unbeaten, and you guys ended. So why can't
that's we have different? Beat? That's How? Different because we've beaten you guys before that game. So it's not like, you lost to Arsenal in like 15 games and finally stopped them.
We've beaten City too. So what are you saying?
I'm talking about in their house. In their house.
And I'm saying we've beaten them. Look, again, let people enjoy things.
No problem. Like, and I'm saying this because Olu and some Arsenal fans have always come to my DMs or my messages to say beginning of stats about how United has played poorly. And I don't talk because I said, okay, we are bad. But when it's not your turn, you guys have been giving up excuses. And I always come out and say, I do not agree. I do not accept that excuse. But it's fine. You guys had 1 point. You went back to your winning ways against Luton. Against who did you guys play? Luton?
Luton.
You won 2-1. That's 2-0. Fine.
2-0.
Oh, is this?
Clean sheet.
2-0. Okay. Clean sheet. No problem.
Yeah.
You guys won that one, which is fine. I'm happy for you guys.
And we're top of the league right now.
Congrats.
You sound pained. Why?
No, I'm not pained. Congrats now. Congrats.
Top of the league. Can Sheffield do me a favor?
You have a long way to go. Have a long way to go.
Do you think Arsenal? Let me ask you this really quickly. I know we're running out of time. What are your top 4 predictions quickly?
I cannot be saying, guys, don't ask me this question. I've said it many times. I've said it many times. I'm not answering that question. Next. Next.
Okay. Well,
United is going to face City. I'm sorry, Chelsea today after this recording. Yeah. That should be an interesting game. I'm sure everybody expects
Chelsea will win. Chelsea will win.
I mean, I'm surprised if Chelsea wins, but United might just nick it because or it might just end up as a draw.
As a draw, that's what Chelsea is used to anyway, right?
They've drawn United in a lot of games in the past, like 10 games, so it's not. Yeah. I think they've drawn like 5 already, so it's not nothing new. They're both average teams. So two mid-table game teams playing. So
I'm surprised that this is the case, that you're an honest man now.
Anyways, let's end the show. We've had a lot of talk today.
Yeah, so
we're supposed to very quickly just for the next weekend. Ah, that's an interesting weekend.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right. So let me just put up the schedule. So Saturday, first game, Palace City.
City.
Yeah, City. Villa, Brentford. That's a good one.
Villa. Villa should win.
Yeah, Villa too. Everton, Burnley.
I see a draw.
I see a Burnley win, actually. Fulham, Newcastle.
Newcastle, because I don't know what's wrong with Fulham this time around.
Yeah, that should be Newcastle win. Luton, Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Wolves, West Ham.
West Ham.
Brighton, Arsenal.
Arsenal.
United, Liverpool.
Draw.
Liverpool. Sheffield, Chelsea. Liverpool emphatically, actually. Chelsea. Unfortunately, I want United to win, but I can't count on you guys. Chelsea, then Spurs first.
I see a draw.
Spurs. Okay. And with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.